You're listening to coverage from the 2008 Cattle Industry Convention and Trade Show.
Okay, folks, welcome to this session. The title of this session is What's the Cost of Running a Cow Lately? Today's activities have kicked off with Cattlemen's College, which is a four-day producer education workshops. We want to give a special thanks to our sponsors, Pfizer Animal Health, for their continued support of Cattlemen's College. This afternoon also marks the opening of the cattle industry's largest trade show. This trade show has attracted more than 270 exhibitors this year. It also includes a new demonstration area that features cattle dog training, shoot side techniques, and ranch horsemanship. The trade show welcome reception kicks off at 6 tonight, and that's in exhibit halls 1 and 2. Also, don't miss the newly confirmed Secretary of Agriculture, Ed Schaefer. He's going to be the keynote speaker on the Friday morning opening general session 2 that starts at 7:30 in Hall 3. There are some tickets that are still available for the PAC and PEF dinner event with Tracy Lawrence on Friday, as well as the grand finale event on Saturday night, and you can get those tickets at the registration booths. Be sure that you fill out your evaluation forms that you picked up coming in. At the end of the session, you can leave those on your table or turn them in back at the table right outside the door. And immediately after this session, we're going to head to lunch, and that starts at 11:30. I want to introduce our speakers quickly. First off, we have Stan Beavers. He's professor and extension ag economist with Texas A&M University in Vernon, Texas. He's been a leader in SPA work, and he currently handles all the SPA data in the Southwest, which would include Texas, Oklahoma, and New Mexico. And he's also a colleague of Jim McGrann. The next speaker is Dr. Barry Dunn. He's a director of the King Ranch Institute for Ranch Management in Kingsville, Texas. He spent most of his life ranching in the Northern Plains, and he's currently chairman of the NCBA Beef Production Research Committee. So help me welcome our speakers this morning.
Well, thank you and welcome. I think we've got to adjust this a little bit. When Stan and I were given this talk, we started out with what are your cow costs lately, and then we thought we better add in the other part of the title and what are we going to do about it, because just knowing them is, as you'll see here in a little bit with Stan, a pretty sobering thing, and so we really need to dedicate some time to talk about what are we going to do about them. And the assumption that we can't do something about them is almost as troublesome probably as what they are. We're going to tag team it this morning. I feel like this is too loud.
Can you hear me? Yes? Yeah. Yes, can you hear me? Okay, good.
We can stand up there and try not to fall off, or we can be down here, whatever. We're going to cut this off. Bridget's going to help us at 10 or 15 minutes left. Wherever we are, we're going to stop and then have a discussion with you. So we'll see if we can make this thing work. Well, we're going to spend just a couple minutes laying out how Stan and I see the world in terms of what's going on, and you know, as everyone knows, this is the wildest time in any of our lives in the cattle business, and it's really, really changing the relationships between that feedlot, cow-calf, and stocker phase. I mean, the stocker segment of this industry is with $9 wheat is just a whole different game than it ever was before, if they're even, and according to the cattle facts and on feed numbers that we've just seen, there aren't many cattle on wheat, of course. So this industry is changing a lot. It's changing very rapidly, and this marketplace buying of acres between those four big commodities of corn, wheat, beans, and hay is going to come. Has to become a player in buying those acres from a farmer is something like we've never seen. You know, we're hearing land rents in Iowa, $400 an acre, just outrageous prices compared to what we're used to thinking about. And so, from a picture from the Badlands of South Dakota, which two vultures there waiting to hover over us, and that, I think that's what a lot of us are brought a lot of anxiety to the business, and certainly that's probably why we started out with a small room stand, and then we got a big room to talk to people
there
about.
Go. There you go.
Well, the what's going on, of course, is steadily increasing production costs, and Stan's got great data on it that we're excited to share with you. In every category, the emerging ethanol industry is like, you know, the 800-pound gorilla just marching in, or an elephant, whatever it is, and the corresponding increase in land values. And if you own your land, then that's a different discussion. Is you're not buying $1,000 acre pasture. That's great. But the impact on our business, even if you own your land, is increasing property taxes, which I think we've seen from coast to coast, north to south. The decrease in available labor is real. It's hard. It's a struggle. There aren't a lot of young people coming into this industry. Everywhere I go, I'm told that agriculture is a shrinking industry, and I argue no. It's tremendous opportunity for young people right now, but it's certainly not viewed that way. We almost chase kids out of this industry, and the result is that we don't have a lot of young people. I get calls all the time. Can I come to your institute from New York, Connecticut? I want to be a cowboy. And when I tell them, okay, go get a job and work your way up, I don't get as good a response as you'd. They don't want to hear about that. So there's a lot of interest, but there's not a lot of entry. And then the result is we don't have a lot of available labor. I think there's great news on the consumer side, steady to increasing consumer demand, but there's those continued roadblocks, and I can hardly keep up with the world that we're in, but if my week-old information is right, there's still a lot of roadblocks to trade that are really hurting this business. If we could get them open, this would be a very different business. We're on the tip of a recession if we're not already in it, which we're going to worry about demand then. That overcapacity, sin, and unprofitability in the feedlot and the packer side of this industry is for real. They didn't close Emporia because there were enough cattle. They closed Emporia because there weren't enough cattle. And shrinking the industry as a solution is a kind of a scary strategy. The feeding in the High Plains is different than it was, certainly.
Absolutely.
And I mentioned the stocker sector under pressure from land use changes. And we've got huge policy changes, cools coming, as I understand it, and maybe we'll know more here on Friday morning with the new Secretary of Agriculture. And this thing about the, we're all about ready to face tax increases, right, if things don't change here in the next very few months, especially on inheritance tax. And we're not even discussing that one. There's so many other things going on. That alone has huge impacts on everybody's ranch in this room, especially with the land values that have just exploded. You've got big estate problems looming over, and the best estate planning that you did 5 years ago might not be relevant if the tax law changes.
That's exactly right.
So lots of challenges. And then an energy policy that, my dear friend Dave Delaney and I arm wrestle over this one. It might be wrong, but it's still they're arguing about whether or not they should have the import subsidies for blocking the import of ethanol or not, and all those policies are going on. But in the end, I was riding on a plane last week. The guy I was sitting next to is a project manager for Peter Kiewit out of Omaha, and he's supervising the building of 5 new plants, Dave, and he's got 3 on after that. So for all the rumors, my little anecdotal world was that plants are still being built, and it's still dramatically changing this industry. So that mosaic, that fabric of American agriculture is changing. It's going to change your business dramatically. And we're going to talk about how that has changed in your cost of production, and then we're going to talk about what you can do about it. Now, I got this right, Stan.
Cool. You're right on, man.
The Stan's data is from my adopted state of Texas. I was lucky enough that they'd have me. It's Texas data, but I think it Stan's done a great job of breaking it into two regions, and I hope you'll mentally stretch it up north a little bit, over east, out west, because this data is really powerful. Stan's a great economist. It's really great data, and if you'll please don't dismiss it because you don't live in the region that Stan's talking about. What the heart and soul of this data impacts us all, and the differences that Stan's going to talk about are just as true in Iowa versus eastern Wyoming as they are in, you know, parts of California versus Indiana, Barry, or wherever you're at. So, Stan?
Thanks, Barry. Everything Barry said I agree with, so we kind of tag-teamed this deal, and I'd love to say if you got a question, speak up, but you know that may be a little difficult. I think we're going to leave some questions for time for the end. This is real data. How many of your cow costs have gone up the last 3 years? Don't lie to me. Every one of you, I bet, has gone up to some degree. The question is how much. This is real data, okay, that I'm going to show you. So, if, again, like Barry said, please don't dismiss it because it's Texas data, and I've got kind of broke down. So you can kind of see, well, if I'm on improved pastures with my cows or whether I'm on native country, you could actually think about this from east to west on improved pastures or native country. Anytime I sit down with a ranch, I want them to identify why they have cows. And here's four little things that I want them to pick. This is a very simple little scenario here. Everybody, I want you to pick one of these. Here's your goals. First, I just want to pay my property taxes. Or what you're telling me is I just like having cows. Any of you in the room like that? That's okay.
Different, raise your hand.
Some of you will. Some of you won't. Okay? That's not necessarily the commercial operations out here. Okay? Next one, break even. I just like cows, but I don't necessarily need money. Well, one and two are kind of, at least in Texas standpoint, we're trying to keep an ag exemption because we don't want high property values on our land that we have to pay property taxes on. So one and two, you can kind of think about, well, I've got cows, but I'm really trying to keep my ag exemption, and I don't necessarily need the money, but I'd like to at least break even. Okay. Number three, I suspect a lot of you in the room are probably number three. Be profitable. What's that mean? Well, if I don't make money, I got to find something else to do, or else my spouse has got to get another job, right? How many of you are in the room that, in that case? Probably a good chunk of you, okay? Then you can go to the fourth goal, genetic progression. I plan on having the best performing cattle, define best performing however you want to, okay? So pick one of those four goals. That's what I want a ranch to do when I'm sitting down with them, because that really defines how much I can do with them. Okay. With that said, kind of putting this in context, does every one of these guys compete with the other? Is anybody in here? Is George Steinbrenner in the room? Everybody know who George Steinbrenner is? Owns the New York Yankees? Willing to buy a world championship baseball team, right? Then you've got whoever owns Texas Rangers. Who owns Texas Rangers? Whoever owns the Texas Rangers, they're not going to spend that kind of money. They want to do it the old-fashioned way. They want to get the right people in place. They want to do it as cheaply as they can. But they still have the same goal of winning a championship. Does Texas play the Yankees? Every year. The point here is you're competing against the other guys, aren't you? And other guys have other goals. That doesn't matter. Okay? They're in the business. You've got to compete against them. Donnell Brown, one of my good friends, made one of the, I don't think he made this comment originally, but it's one of those that's pretty profound, and it goes, you don't necessarily have to change. But if you're not going to change, you have to be willing to accept the fact that you are going to be competing against people that will change. Everybody agree with that? All right, here we go. Next thing. Yes, and I'm going to skip through this pretty quickly because Barry's touched on it already. Yes, cap prices have been high, but many inputs have increased as well. I just, you know, no bash to the media, but I always hear about how high the cap prices are in the face of corn prices and all this. Yeah, cap prices have stayed high. What we haven't focused on until now is what these input costs have been doing. The one thing I would submit to you is most cow cost figures you hear do not include all your costs. Everybody believe that? If you include all your costs, they're probably a lot higher than what you think they are. And those are real costs. Even though you may not write a check for depreciation, that is a real cost. Have you ever seen a ranch that didn't operate with assets? Either cows, land, machinery, something, there's got to be assets. If there's assets, there's depreciation. Okay? And while you don't write a check for it, you still have to pay it. Owner labor. How many of you write yourself a check? How many of you don't write yourself a check? Good number of us, right? We don't write ourselves a check. But I want you looking at your own labor. Okay? So you're going to see two costs in here that we'll explain a little more in detail. Right there, I'll just tell you, right there you're going to add $170 in this data set that I've got. And Cattle Facts, you know, I'm a member of Cattle Facts just like a lot of you are. When they put out their cow-calf survey, those are the two that they don't include. So take that number, add $170 based on this data set, and that's your true cow-calf cost. Okay? Now, they will tell you that's cash cost, and that's correct. But that's not all costs involved in the cow-calf business. With that said, what we're looking at here is a Southwest database. And right now, or the Southwest SPA database. And this is data on about 600,000 mama cows that me and a few other colleagues have collected over time. These are real ranches, real ranch numbers. These are the calf prices that they've received over time. Clear back to 1991 when we started this business and when the NCBA endorsed the SPA or Standardized Performance Analysis guidelines, we started in 1991, and since then, calf prices came down in the 90s, mid-90s. We've been rising ever since. We got into this new plateau, but now we sit here and focus on our calf prices starting to top out. That is the average of that data set. Okay? And each year, there's about anywhere from 25 to 30 to 35 herds added to this database each year. So again, this is the average of those numbers. That's cow price, or cattle-calf prices. Here is the cost. Cost gone up? Oh, yeah, pretty significantly, particularly the last 4 years. Okay, so here we are. When I took this job about 20 years ago, I could pretty much say to any rancher, well, on average, it's going to cost you a dollar a day, $365 to run a cow a year. That was 20 years ago. Now, that's probably closer to $550 to $560. Right now, as of 2006, which right now, if you think about how we do these analyses, we are just now starting to do the 2007 analysis. Everybody's starting to close their books out from last year, from December of 2007. They're getting their taxes worked out, all that. So I'll come in and start in January, February through June, and I'll do a bunch of ranch analysis. So we'll start adding. As a matter of fact, I've already done one this year, and that number's already higher again for that particular ranch. So now we're talking in this neighborhood of 571 being this year, or 2006. What's that relate to what I have to have for every calf that comes off the ranch? In this one, you take into account the number of calves you actually have, or what is your productivity number. Now we're talking, well, we used to have $500 to $550 per calf. Now that number in 06 was $642. How many of you keep replacement heifers?
And that's a break-even number.
And that is a break-even number, okay? How many of you keep your replacement heifers? How many of you know what it cost you to develop that replacement heifer to the first breeding? Good number of you, that's good. That's the number that you start with right there. So at the point of her being weaned, and she's identified as a replacement heifer, that is her accumulated cost at that point in time. Okay? So now we start adding everything else, the development cost, the feed program, whatever we're going to do to her. And Barry, feel free, again, if you got any comments, feel free to speak right up. Okay, so $550, $60, $70. What is that? We're going to look at these numbers in depth here. We're going to focus on 56 herds. And those 56 herds are in North Texas. And these are herds that I've done during 2003 through 2006, so 4 years of data. And that's the data that I could come up with that I could really get a good match on. And this is 56 herds. If you add those two together, that's 54. There's two other herds that I've included in the data, but not in the regions. Texas fall regions 1, 2, and 5. So there's 26 herds in regions 1 and 2 and 28 in region 5. What's that mean? All right, there's the regions. And this was back to Barry's comment. I want you to think about this data in terms of where the ranches are located and where your ranch is located and what your resource base is. Region 5 is here, roughly the High Plains, South Plains, and Rolling Plains of Texas. If you characteristically define that particular area of cow-calf production, that would be defined as cows being run on native country. Okay? Strong native grasses, not a lot on improved pastures. They don't deal with hay to a large degree, and their feed program really is just supplementation through the winter, is all they do. They depend on their cows to forage on the native country.